Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kindy Rockstars. This is the show that gives you the stories behind the songs from some of the best bands and singers that are making fun, informative, educational, catchy, and occasionally silly songs for children and families. I'm your host, Patrick Adams, and each episode of Kindy Rockstars will feature an artist and a featured song. So let's get to this week's show. Everybody, and welcome to Kindy Rockstars. I have a really, really special show today. My guests are Sharon and Bram from Sharon, Lois, and Bram, and Sharon's daughter, Randy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Patrick.
Thank you.
By way of introduction, Sharon, Lois, and Bram got started in the late 70s. They have released many, many albums, had TV shows, released children's books. They've had an amazing career, won many, many awards, and are legends in the children's music industry. So we're going to go on a little bit of a journey here with you both, and Randy as well. And my first question to you is, how did the three of you come together and start making music for kids?
Well, first of all, the assumption is that we got together and decided to make music for kids. We were all of us individually making music for children. And that's what brought us together, is that we all had that same interest. And we were all members of Mariposa in the schools, which is an offshoot. It no longer exists. It was an offshoot of the Mariposa Folk Festival, which we were all part of for a number of years beforehand. So it was a natural evolution. It wasn't just, oh, let's get together and what shall we do? Oh, kids would be good. That's not the way it happened.
And we were approached by Bill Usher, who is a producer, about the idea of making a record. And the three of us shared similar values, the same values really, about what kind of a recording we would want to make, the kind of the notion that it had to be the best possible music, a range of ideas, lots of variety, good arrangements, many of which were created by my husband, Joe, and good musicians, good arrangers, like it had to be the best that it could be. And we wanted it to be a record for children and their families. And that was the fundamental basis of what we did and continue to do for all these many, many years. We did not know that we were starting a career. We thought we were making a record, and it was really, truly the response to the recording that launched the career.
Yeah, I was going to ask, at what point did you realize with the three of you as a unit, like, oh my gosh, this is going to be huge?
I think it was one of the important parts, in addition to the response to our first concerts that we did in the autumn of 1978, was a call that Sharon got from the Vancouver Children's Festival. Would we like to come out the following May and perform there? And we thought, wow, ain't CBC great? I'm serious.
Yeah, no, we didn't. I mean, the notion that it was so very exciting, the notion that people across the country knew us, that the artistic director of this festival wanted us there because he knew about us and the audience knew about us. And that's because we had opportunities, as Bram said, to do interviews and for our music to be played on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. And that was immensely, immensely effective. we didn't know at the time. I mean, would you come and do an interview? Sure. Would, you know, I mean, we had no idea the impact. And so we've always felt very grateful to CBC.
What were some of the earliest songs that really became popular for you guys?
Well, One Elephant Went Out to Play Upon a Spider's Web one day, which we didn't know it at the time. It kind of became one of our theme songs. But that was only because of what happened afterwards. Sharon sang it on her own. And then we sang it, the three of us, in the concert. And you learn along the way what's working, what isn't working, and what becomes iconic. And that song certainly did.
And of course, there was Skinamarink. I mean, we had Lois learn that song from her young cousin when she went to Chicago to see if she could borrow some money, get some investors from her family in our first record, which is how we financed the $20,000 for our first record. We went to family and friends. And while she was in Chicago, she said to her cousin, "Do you know any good songs?" And Lisa sang her Skinamarink. And Lois came back to us. We're discussing the songs for the recording. And she said, "I think this is a good song." And we thought it was great. So we put it on the record, not at the end of the record. After that, we used that song to end everything that we ever did, recordings, TV, public appearances, concerts, whatever. But on that record, Lois sang the melody, I sang a little harmony, and Bram played guitar.
Silently, vocally. I didn't sing on it at all.
Right. But that sure changed. And it's an iconic song, and there's a book. Of course, there's more recently a book about Skinamarink, and the One Elephant Went Out to Play book just came out. And Randy authored both of those books, turning them from little songs, from pamphlets, to books.
But you know, that when you ask about songs that have become enduring favorites, when you look at a Sharon and Bram set list or a Sharon, Lois and Bram set list, a lot of the favorite songs were on the first two records. Coming Round the Mountain, you could not go to a concert and not sing that song. It's just, it's required listening. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And it's a wonderful participatory song. And I remember when we recorded that song, it has all the different elements, and one child sings one part and then a second child sings the second part and they go back to the first part. It goes back and forth among the children. And it was pointing at the kids, giving them cues and all that. I remember when they left the recording studio, we fell onto a couch because we were exhausted.
Right. Well, we were right from the beginning, and for quite a while, we were the kid wranglers as well. Yeah. As the main artists. And so we did everything. We sang, we taught, we disciplined.
There wasn't a lot of discipline necessary.
No, there wasn't a lot of discipline, but we were responsible for everything that had to do with singing.
And you know, coincidentally, the recording studio, which is called Kensington Sound, where we made our first two or three records, I can't remember, but they just celebrated their 50th anniversary.
They're still there.
They were on CBC National News talking about performers that had performed there, that had recorded there, and they talked about us, and they talked about the gold record that they got for what we did there. It's lovely to hear those moments.
Very cool. So as the 80s progressed and into the 90s, how was it for you guys? I think you grew more popular, and I guess it was really big in Canada. At what point did it expand beyond Canada? And did you ever get a chance to travel globally with your music?
Was North America.
Yeah, we had a big career in the United States. And that happened when The Elephant Show went on Nickelodeon TV. Mm-hmm. And our touring exploded then. And we traveled all over North America, and it was exciting. We played, you know, state fairs and big, exciting venues.
What are some of your favorite places that you performed?
Well, in Toronto, I have to say that one of the favorite places, and it does not exist anymore due to some very bad decision making
by the government.
The forum at Ontario Place, which was a circular situation with the stage that rotated, and so that every 7 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever, you were facing all of the people one after the other, or one section after the other, and you got to see the lake, and you got to see the people, and you got to see the boats, and it was fabulous.
And we saw about it. You saw about 10,000 people in that venue.
You saw more than that when the TSO played with you. One of the funny things about that venue is I was sometimes dressed up in the elephant costume, and you'd come out. There was a stationary entryway onto the stage, but then you get on the stage and the stage is going around and trying to find your way back off stage again. You know, the stage has moved. I'm like, I don't know where to go.
And that's why the real name for that entry and exit from the stage, that's why it is called the vomitorium. It's true. I didn't make that up.
It was a wonderful venue, and we loved it. But we also played it we loved playing at home, of course. It was significant to play at home. But we had an opportunity to play on the mall at the White House and to meet President Clinton and Hillary. That was thrilling. We played on Broadway. What was the name of the theater?
The Palace Theater.
The Palace.
Yeah, you had Judy, what's her name?
Judy Garland.
Her dressing room.
We played in several different places in New York, including Carnegie Hall. And Bram used the same.
How do you get to Carnegie Hall?
Yeah, I practice. and we played in some lovely venues across the country. Played at state fairs. We played in beautiful halls, and we ate well.
And I have to ask, because it's where I live, but did you ever make it to Las Vegas?
No.
My brother lives in Las Vegas.
Yes, I've made it to Las Vegas to visit my son, but we never performed there. I don't know why exactly, but we certainly played in California and in Hawaii. I mean, we did manage the West Coast for sure, and we played in some north, like, what, remember the place we flew to, Bram, where we flew on a tiny plane during a terrible blizzard?
Oh, don't even tell me. It was so bumpy. The pilot said, I don't think it gets any worse than this, which was just
never anything you want to hear from a pilot.
Yeah, no kidding.
Las Vegas isn't a town of young families.
Yeah, I was thinking that as I asked the question. I'm like, well, that's an opportunity for Las Vegas, but it's not what it's known for sure.
Yeah.
No.
So, I mean, I live here. I don't go to the Strip that often. It's like any other city. Like I tell a lot of people, off the Strip, we just have casinos in our grocery stores and crazy things like that.
When I first started going there, if my son and I would go to a movie, I was astounded. You don't go anywhere that you don't go through a casino.
It hits you right at the airport.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Boy, I remember being the first time in Reno, and I'd never been in a gambling place before in my life. This was even before Sharon Lois and Bram. And I said, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I bought $5 worth of nickels. Nickels. And I said, I'm going to gamble these. And when they're gone, I'm gone.
I'm done. Yep.
And that was it for life.
Yeah. Both of my sons are over 21. And one of the first things I did with them when they were visiting here is I was like, all right, you're old enough. Give it a shot. And both of them, after like $10, are like, I'm done. I don't like this.
Exactly.
I won't put a dollar into it.
Enough said.
All right. So we will segue into the TV shows. If you want to talk about the Elephant Show first.
Sure. We had done a couple of specials, a few, I think about three specials before we got involved with the Elephant Show. But the Elephant Show, people approached us and said, would you like to do TV? And we said, sure. And they said, you know, where's the money? And we said, yeah, where's the money? Well, two young guys came to us and said, we'd like to do TV with you. And they knew about us because they weren't even parents. They were uncles. And they knew about us and about the impact of our music. And they wanted to do something. And they went found the funding to do it. And we ended up doing Elephant Show for 5 years. We probably could have done it for 15 years. We loved doing it. We learned a lot in the process of doing it. We discovered that it was very successful. The audience really loved it. And, you know, it was full of music. And it wasn't that there were messages, but the messages were really more about how these three grown-ups treat each other and treat the children who are integral to the show the way we are with each other. And it wasn't because a script told us to be that way. It was just a reflection of our relationship with each other and our affection for children and being with them. And I think those are the reasons that the Elephant Show, some of the reasons that it was successful. We learned a lot in the process and we love doing it.
Can I tell you a funny story? I don't know if you know this or not, but one of the two guys who produced the Elephant Show is a friend. And when my mom tells the story of people saying, do you want to do a show and do you have money? When Arnie and Bruce from Cambium came and said, do you want to do a show? And Sharon Lois and Bram said, do you have money? They said, yes. And so Sharon Lois and Bram said, okay, we'll do a show with you. They said they didn't have the money. They just,
I didn't know this.
They would figure it out. They wanted to do it and they were passionate about it. And they said, yes. And then they found the money.
Excellent. I was about to say, it went on for 5 seasons, so it sounds like they found it.
Yeah.
I remember the last day of the first season, the first summer of shooting. I remember we were at the bottom of the city near by the lake, and I was sitting on the grass with this same producer, Arnie, and I said to him, you know, it was sort of like if you go to camp, when you're at the end of the summer and you're leaving, you feel such a connection with everyone you've been with. You've shared moments and you feel connected. I said, it sort of feels like the way you feel when you're leaving camp because you've worked with these people all summer. Everybody, you know, working on people like to work on our TV shows because they were decent. They didn't have to apologize for anything. They could be proud of what they were doing. Everybody had fun. There was no kind of nonsense. They liked the kids. So the end of the season had an element of, you know, I'm sad to be saying goodbye to all these people.
And so Elephant became like a big character, it looks like, and joined you for performances and things like that. And then eventually the children's book, One Elephant Went Out to Play. So talk about how all of that inspired the children's book.
Well, it was really in the success of doing the book of Skinamarink, the publishers said, okay, well, what would you like to do next? And we sort of looked at the list of beloved Sharon Lois and Bram songs and which ones were streamed the most and searched the most. And One Elephant seemed to be the logical second book. It was the, you know, the theme song of the show. It was the name of the first album. People love elephants. So it was just a nice logical choice. And in creating the invitation of all the Jungle Friends to get on the web and party, it inadvertently became a counting book. And my favorite moment in the recording was Bram had said, we wanted to have little nods to Sharon Lois and Bram things. So the elephant has a top hat, which the elephant on the Elephant Show had. And Bram wanted monkeys. He wanted there to be monkeys invited onto the web. So we thought it would be fun if it was the five little monkeys invited onto the web. And when we did the recording, Bram thought it would be fun to say...
Well, let's say we were at four at that time. And we said, listen, this is going to be a really, really long song if we do one monkey at a time. So let's do five. So we jumped from four to nine.
But you said when we invite the five monkeys on, you said no more monkeys jumping on the web.
On the web. That's right.
On the recording, it's no more monkeys jumping on the bed. But on the recording and in the book, it's no more monkeys jumping on the web. That's one of Ram's clever moments. There are now and then.
Thousands of them. Like that.
Exactly. But we don't call them all clever.
What?
We don't call them all clever. But most of them.
Oh, of course. Neither do I.
All right, let's go ahead and play the song One Elephant Went Out to Play by Sharon, Bram, and Randy.
Come join us in the jungle where animals roam free.
So we can share the song with you beneath a rainforest canopy.
Where a very special spider spins a web across the trees. With drops of dew it glistens and shimmers in the breeze.
And with the rising morning sun her magic silk holds firm.
So she beckons to her special friend, a playful pachyderm. One elephant went out to play upon a spider's web one day. She had such enormous fun that she called for her baby elephant to come. One, two. Two elephants went out to play upon a spider's web one day. They had such enormous fun that they called for a glamorous giraffe to come. One, two, three. Three jungle friends went out to play upon a spider's web one day.
They had such enormous fun that they called for a cranky crocodile to come. One, two, three, four.
Four jungle friends went out to play upon a spider's web one day.
They had such enormous fun that they called for five little monkeys to come.
No more monkeys jumping on the web. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Nine jungle friends went out to play upon a spider's web one day. They had such enormous fun that they called for a silly smiley snake to come. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Ten jungle friends went out to play upon a spider's web one day. They had such enormous fun that they called for everyone to come.
Well, 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 look who's here.
I see you, silly smiley snake.
Hooray! Here we are.
Jungle friends were out at play upon a spider's web one day. They had such enormous fun that they'll be back tomorrow when the new web's done.
And that was One Elephant Went Out to Play. All right, let's talk about your other show, Skinamarink. So tell us how this show came to be. And it was called Skinamarink TV, right?
Right. And we knew that television was a very powerful medium. And we had a number of years off. And we thought, it's time to get back on TV. And so this show is completely different. Because in the elephant show, elephant has a name. The name is elephant.
Elephant.
And no voice. Its voice is a tuba. And that's it. And we have to guess what elephant is thinking or trying to say from that. With this, we have an elephant, but it has a name. It's Ella a cappella. And she has a voice, and she actually speaks. So we don't have that guesswork to do. And we also have a blue cat named Copycat. He's called Copycat because he copies everything you do. And so it's Copycat or Cece.
Cece Copycat.
Right, which is a copycat thing all by itself. it's a much brighter show in the sense that the sets are colorful and the clothes are colorful. And there's we took a couple of ideas, one from SCTV with different television programs, one from Laugh In, the Joke Wall. We ripped other shows off with abandon.
And what I find amazing about Skinamarink TV is you and my mom were in your 50s and Lois was in, I think, her early 60s. And Elephant Show was Sharon, Lois, and Bram, to a large extent being Sharon, Lois, and Bram. Skinamarink TV, they were acting. They created characters and they were acting in, like, you know, to learn a new skill like that at that time in your life, it was arduous and rigorous, but also I think really fun. And the characters that the writers created for Sharon, Lois, and Bram were really, if you were to divide their personalities into slices, like, you know, one of Lois's characters was named Cookie and she was a chef in a diner. And Bram had a character called Jake and he had Jake's Joke Emporium. And Bram is the jokester. He loves jokes. And Sharon was Patty Pert and she would go, go, go. And that is like my mom to a T. So they had all these interesting, fun characters that were created for them. So there was a little bit of typecasting in there, but it was also a lot of acting as well.
Yeah, it was a TV station, right? Wasn't it a TV station? We were different, that we represented different shows on the station.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Skinamarink TV was the TV channel. Yeah.
Gotcha. And did that also air on Nickelodeon or where did that air?
It was on, was it the Learning Channel?
No, it was on the Learning Channel in the United States. In Canada, it was on CBC, the same as the Elephant Show.
I'll tell you my favorite was they created these characters named Millie and Tilly. They were twins, and it was Sharon.
I don't think you could do that now. No.
Sharon and Lois sharing a sweatshirt, and they would fight about everything.
They were one person. They're with two heads and two arms. It was shocking in retrospect.
They actually did it. Yeah. I like to be warm. I like to be cold. My favorite number is five. No, my favorite number is five.
It was a riot. It was really fun to do that. In one of the episodes, we were trying on shoes, and Bram was the shoe salesman. I think he ended up throwing all the boxes up in the air because we couldn't agree. I think we must have had fun doing all of this stuff. We kind of sound like it, don't we?
Yeah.
And can those be found anywhere now? Can we go onto a site and find any of the episodes?
We are working on that. I'm sure if you search that they are illegally places, but we are working on ways to formally share that content because it's tragic that it isn't out there.
We hear from people all the time that they yearn for those shows. Yeah. We also did a wonderful Christmas special, which we adored. And it's a beautiful Christmas show, a Christmas special, holiday special. It's not religious at all, but it has an important message about, you know, how you can be successful when people are nice to each other. You can solve problems, and it's very subtle, but it's quite delightful. And it's also, I mean, I hear from families who say they watch it every year, but it's not so easily available, and it should be, because it would be a nice thing for families.
It's called Candles, Snow, and Mistletoe, which is the same title as one of the recordings that we did first before we did the TV.
Right.
Gotcha. All right. And Skin of a Rink is also a children's book.
It is.
Go, Randy.
Well, we've actually sold 100,000 copies of that book. It has won a bunch of awards. It's been on bestseller lists. We just put it into a board book. So it was a really nice big coffee table collectible book, and now it is like a baby board book. So it's got thicker, sturdier pages, and it's Dolly Parton does this really great philanthropic thing where she provides books to underprivileged communities, so that lots of kids get bundles of books to read. And Skin of Marink was part of her imagination library, which is amazing. And Sharon and Bram recorded, we call it Skin of Marinky 2. They recorded the new version of Skin of Marink, which is really the old version with extra places where we all love each other. I mean, the sentiment of the book is I love you. So I love you in the desert and by the sea. And I love you when you're happy or when you're feeling blue. I mean, just all of the opportunities to let somebody know that you love them.
All right. Well, let's check the song out. Here it is, Skin of a Rinky 2 by Sharon and Bram.
Here's a little ditty that we all know and sing.
We share it with our families and let our voices ring.
It also has some actions. They're really fun to do.
And now we want to sing this special song with all of you.
Skin-a-marinky-dinky-dink, skin-a-marinky-dink, I love you. Skin-a-marinky-dinky-dink, skin-a-marinky-dink, I love you. I love you in the morning and in the afternoon. I love you in the evening underneath the moon. Skin-a-marinky-dinky-dink, skin-a-marinky-doo, I love you.
I love you when you're happy and when you're feeling blue.
And when you're feeling grumpy, I'll give a hug to you.
Skin-a-marinky-dinky-dink, skin-a-marinky-doo, I love you.
I love you in the Arctic,
the desert,
by the sea,
and under top of the mountain, standing next to me.
Skin-a-marinky-dinky-dink, skin-a-marinky-doo, I love you.
I love you in the summer, the fall and winter too.
I love you in the springtime, I love you through and through.
Skin-a-marinky-dinky-dink, skin-a-marinky-doo, I love you.
Be sure to sing this love song with everyone around. When we all sing together, it's such a lovely sound.
Skin-a-marinky-dinky-dink, skin-a-marinky-doo, I love you. Skin-a-marinky-dinky-dink, skin-a-marinky-doo, I love you. Skin-a-marinky-dinky-dink, skin-a-marinky-doo, morning and in the afternoon. I love you in the evening underneath the moon. Skin-a-marinky-dinky-dink, skin-a-marinky-doo, I love you.
I love your singing.
I love you.
You're all terrific.
I love you.
Sing together.
right. And that was Skinnamarinky 2. All right. So next thing I want to talk about is the evolution of Sharon Lewis and Bram over the years and the advances in technology and the ability to connect with the world. How have you guys navigated that?
Well, it's really interesting that as time goes by, you have this notion that the sound gets better. It's not really true. The sound off an LP, it's got a little surface noise, but the depth of sound, especially the bass, is stronger. And also with a 12-inch record, you have a cover that's that big. And so if it's that big, you've got full faces on the cover that children can really relate to. I mean, that's really personal. As soon as you get to a CD or a cassette, it's teensy tiny, and you have a lot of trouble seeing it. I miss 12-inch LPs.
Children would walk around holding the jacket, the album jacket, because they felt they had their friend close to them. And I agree with Bram. I miss that as well. We as a trio evolved because in 1997 or 98, Lois's husband died. And after a little bit of time, she decided that she really didn't have the heart for touring. So, and Bram and I were not ready to stop. We still loved what we were doing, and we continued to do it. And we found we did it effectively and happily so. And then in 2019, Bram suggested, because it was our 40th anniversary, that he suggested we do some concerts in Toronto to celebrate. And Randy took that suggestion and turned it into a cross Canada tour. Maybe you could speak to this evolution, Randy.
Well, I would say that Sharon and Bram as the duo was beautiful and synergistic. They have similar folk roots, and the warmth that they put out in those concerts was something that the audience continued to crave this whole time. And I really wanted them to have a chance to hear from their fans one final time with a bang. So we did a big tour, and Bram had decided he wanted to step away from touring. I don't know how. I know that just traveling with them, I was exhausted, and I wasn't on stage performing with them. I don't know where they got their energy. But my mom and I just started talking about maybe doing music together, and Bram was very supportive and encouraging of that. And we were just about to start doing that when COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And the very first week we were on lockdown, we sat in the living room and did a Facebook Live, and we just were singing Sharon, Lois, and Bram songs a cappella and chatting about them. And we had 15,000 people watching. It was crazy what this desire to connect was. So we ended up doing some Facebook Lives and some Zoom concerts, and Bram would come and be a special guest for us, or he would record a song. And really, we spent the summer as a family band.
This past summer,
singing the music of Sharon, Lois, and Bram with my mom and myself and my two sons. Bram's brother, Jeff, has been playing with us. It really is a family band. And it's been an absolute pleasure. And it really means a lot that Bram is so supportive and encouraging of us doing it.
That's wonderful.
And I think it's important to say that the audience has been very accepting of it. You know, people just want to sing together. And giving them that opportunity is not insignificant. So you know, it was kind of an opportunity. And Randy's kids, her sons, are keen to be part of it. And her beau, who plays guitar for us. So it's...
I think it's fabulous. I think it's wonderful the way it's developed. with me standing and watching from the side. It's great.
And last year you released a live album, and we're going to play a couple of songs from that, but it looks like it's from different concerts over the years. So how did you determine like which songs landed on that album and pull it all together?
We had a fan who was a friend who knew that old cassette recordings from Sharon Lewis and Bram tours existed and kept wanting to hear them. And ultimately, our keyboard player, Grant Slater, had been holding on to them, and we arranged to have them digitized. And when we started listening, we were like, wow, these sound really good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could do something with this. And there was 7 years of tours, and we had a big list of songs that our friends JC and Chris and Bram and my mom and I like listened to, and we sent our favorites to our friend Glenn Morley, who was our producer, and he and I found a way to sequence and sync the song so that it had the feel of one concert, even though the songs were chosen as the best versions of songs from a bunch of different concerts, 20 different concerts, actually.
It's amazing because it really does sound like one. And I think it's brilliant the way it was put together, having been recorded in so many venues at so many times and over so many years. It really does sound like one concert. I think it's brilliant.
I agree.
The thing that Randy didn't mention was that initially when she proposed to me and Bram that this was a possibility, Bram and I said, oh, no way, it's not going to work. It's, you know, so we are double thrilled about the outcome.
Well, part of it was that we thought that recording on cassette just wasn't up to the task of having the quality for a public release. And we were wrong. They were very high quality recordings, and they made the transition beautifully.
Yeah. I was tickled that you picked Going to the Zoo as one of your song choices, because that's one of my favorites. I feel like it really showcases the band and how musical they were. Our keyboard player Grant was like on fire on the keys on that one. It's got a little segue to Monkees in there, and it's got really good vocal harmonies. Like, they were really on for that tune. So I thought that was an excellent choice.
Yeah, and I got to say, one of the ones that I picked, Dancing Shoes. It wasn't so much singing, but it was the band kind of introducing themselves. And I was taken by the humor.
Which song is Dancing
Shoes? It's not a song. It's just chat.
Did you bring your dancing shoes?
It started off as a song, but then it segued into the three of you introducing yourselves. And yeah, I thought it was
cute. Good. Yeah, I forgot that.
Well, what we wanted was, you know, our fan friends who do our social media, Chris and JC, they really wanted you to feel like you were sitting in the theater again, like to recapture those feelings. So we tried to insert those little moments of playfulness or banter or silliness, because really that was the charm of the Sharon Lewis and Bram concert, was that chemistry and that interplay and the silliness.
Yeah, and I have to agree with you on the quality of the sound. As I was listening to it and noticing the dates on it, I'm like, wow, they got some very good quality recording. If this was 1983 or 84, it's like, they did a good job pulling that together, and the source material was good also.
Yeah, doing it originally and then processing it for this purpose was all brilliant, I thought. And yep. Sharon and I had nothing to do with it.
Bram makes a joke, though. He says after listening to it, he's exhausted because they sing everything so fast.
And high.
Right.
All right. So I want to play a couple of songs from this album for everyone. The album is called Best of the Best Live. And it, again, it's from performances throughout the years, but you're right. It feels like you're at a concert, the way it's all put together and produced. The songs we're going to play are Dancing Shoes, Going to the Zoo, I Am Slowly Going Crazy, and then Peanut Butter and Jelly. So enjoy these four songs from this album.
So is everybody ready to start singing and dancing?
Yeah!
All right, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute now. I know you're ready, but I got to check to see if you brought the right musical equipment. Tell me this now. Did you bring your singing voice?
Yes, I brought my singing voice.
Well, now, and did you bring your dancing shoes?
Yes, I brought.
Well, let's get going.
Oh, I love singing and dancing, and I love it best when I get to do it with friends. So come on, friends, tell us, what is your name?
Oh, gee-doo.
It's a pleasure to meet all of you. Now, I know you know our names. I know you do. But I know also that occasionally people get a little confused about who's who up here. So if you are one of the confused people, here's how you get to remember who's who for the rest of your lives. Each one of us has one letter of the alphabet, and that letter is for our name and our hair. So now, for me, the letter is S. Because S is for
Sharon.
And Sharon's hair is
good.
Here we have the letter L. L is for
Lois's hair is.
They're good. Here comes the letter B. It's okay.
This wasn't my idea. Okay, so my letter is B, so my name is. And I'm the one with the beard.
Short, long, and beard you'll never forget.
I think we should all go on an outing together. We seem ready for an outing. So grab the kids, pack the picnic lunch, put the dogs and the cats in the car. We're going to sing you a song written by a friend of ours. His name is Tom Paxton. And we're going to take you someplace we hope you'll like. Actually, you do need a grown-up to take
you.
Sharon's taking us to the zoo this morning. Zoo this morning. Zoo this morning.
Why not?
Sharon's taking us to the zoo this morning.
Guess what? We can stay all.
We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. How about you, you, you? You can come too, zoo, zoo. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo.
Boys and girls, will you stand up? Be a black bear, show.
Puff, 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 puff.
Giraffes with a long neck stretching, eating off the treetops. His long neck stretching, you'll never hear a sound from the long neck stretching. We can stay all day.
We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. How about you, you, you? You can come too, too, too. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo.
Lions and tigers, looking so peaceful, lying all around, looking oh so peaceful. But when mealtime comes, they're not so peaceful, so stay out of their way.
We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. How about you, 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 you can come too, too, too. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo.
Let's see the monkeys.
Look at all the monkeys jumping on the bed.
On the where? On the what?
Uh-oh.
Where are we, Lois?
I took us to the wrong song.
Wrong.
Oh, not wrong.
Should we stay there?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody.
Five little monkeys jumping on the bed.
take it.
One.
The doctor said,
put those monkeys right to bed.
We're going to the zoo.
Songs that you would like to choose. So here's what we're going to do. This is called Taking Requests. If you can remember a Sharon Lois and Bram song, it's best to choose those because those are the ones that we know. If you can remember one that we haven't sung that you'd like to hear, put up your hand and Lois and I are going to come out and see if we can find some people to choose from.
Heather has a great song. It's a song for parents to sing every day of their lives. What's it called?
I'm slowly going crazy.
I am slowly going crazy. And I think that's extremely appropriate. Now, Heather, you just want to sit next to me, okay? We're going to sing it, okay? Sure. Okay. So,
I think we don't need any instruments. We
just need wonderful craziness back there. Okay.
I am slowly going crazy. One, two, three, four, five, six, switch. Crazy going slowly am I. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
switch.
Do it.
I am slowly going crazy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
switch.
Crazy going slowly am I. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, switch.
I am slowly going crazy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
switch.
I am slowly going crazy.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
switch.
I am slowly going crazy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
switch.
I'm slowly going crazy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
switch.
I'm slowly going crazy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
switch.
I'm slowly going crazy.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
switch.
What do you think our favorite sandwich song is? Peanut butter. With what? Okay, it's time to make that sandwich. We need you to stand up because that's the best way to get the feeling, the groove. So mamas and papas, grandmas, boys, girls, how about you all stand up now and let everybody scoop the peanuts. I like mine chunky style. How about you? Smooth. Smooth. We got two camps here. Got to bend your knees. That makes the picking a little bit easier. So scooping and dipping, y'all look wonderful. Well, if you are ready, we're going to make this sandwich family style.
Peanuts.
you dig the peanuts and you dig them.
Come on, here
you dig them. You dig them, dig them, dig them, then you crush them. You crush them, you crush them, crush them, crush them, then you spread them. You spread them, you spread them, spread them, spread them. Peanut, peanut butter, jelly. You pick the berries and you pick 'em. You pick 'em. You pick 'em, pick 'em, pick 'em. Then you crush 'em. You crush 'em. You crush 'em, crush 'em, crush 'em. Then you spread 'em. You spread 'em. You spread 'em, spread 'em, spread 'em. Peanut, peanut butter, jelly. You bite the sandwich and you bite it.
You bite it.
You bite it, bite it, bite it, and then you munch it.
Munch it.
You munch it,
munch it, munch it. Then you swallow. Swallow.
You swallow, swallow, swallow.
Last question I'll ask you is, you know, what was it about the three of you that, that contributed to this sort of like magical career? What did you all bring? And then what do you have to say to budding children's artists and the people of today who are looking to make a career of it like you did?
Pick the songs that you like. And present them with love. Don't pay attention to the lessons.
To trends.
We never did. We
right,
never
to
did.
Right.
We know that there are lessons there. We know that there's teaching. We know that there's learning, but that was never the focus of it. It was having fun, and the rest was a spin-off that we had no control over. If they learned sequencing from She'll Be Coming Round the Mountain, great. But that's not why we chose it. We chose it because it was fun.
And we didn't choose this as a career that was going to bring us success and money and all of that stuff. We love making music. We love making music for children and families. That was really important to us. And we liked doing it together. We were friends. We got along well. We had fun together. We laughed together, we cried together, you know, all of that contributed to the success that we experienced. So if somebody says, oh, I think I'm going to make a record for children, it looks like it has great potential, it probably won't. You know, go there because that's where you really want to be because you love it.
Yeah. All right. So last question, where can people find Sharon, Lois, and Bram? And Randy, and information about the books, where can they buy it? Where can they hear your music? All that good stuff.
The short answer to that is online at the Sharon Lois Bram website. There are things available in other places for sure, but that website has everything.
All the information is there. Is that right, Randy?
Yes, at SharonLawsonBram.com, on YouTube, on TikTok, on Facebook, on Instagram, and on all the streaming platforms, Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Music. Yes, that's all of those places. The books are Skin & Rink, you can find on Amazon. The books will soon be on our website for sale too. And hopefully people will go to our website because there's lots of interesting content on there. There's links to concerts and timelines and all sorts of things.
Yeah, your website is excellent. I spent quite a bit of time on that.
Doing research on there before. That we don't remember.
I don't suppose you're planning to come to Toronto in the next couple of months.
Oh, I would love to go to Toronto. I'm a huge travel nut. I would go just about anywhere.
Well, we're doing actually a concert at a theater called the Winter Garden Theater in Toronto as part of a documentary feature film that we're working on about the magic of Sharon, Lois, and Bram.
It's November 5th is the concert.
Yeah.
You'll see information of on the website for sure.
Excellent. Well, listen, thank you guys so much for being on the show. This has been an absolute honor to have you on. Amazing career, inspiration for all of us that are out there making music for kids. And I'm also a children's book author and all that stuff. I have 5 kids of my own. And believe me, we've heard your songs.
Good. Oh, that's lovely. Thank you. It's a treat talking to you.
It's so nice to meet you.
Thank you so much for being on the show, and take care.
You too.
Thanks.